Hello and welcome to this new episode of SBC Podcast. We have with us today Dr. Gleb Sapersky, CEO of Disaster Avoidance Experts and author of Resilience, Adapt and Plan for the New Abnormal of the COVID-19 Coronavirus Pandemic. Also, some highlights about Dr. Gleb is he has 20 years or over 20 years of consulting, coaching, speaking, and he's also made multiple contributions and appearances to media outlets, such as ones you've recognized, such as CNBC and Inc.com and multiple others. We will discuss some pivot strategies and some top-level decision-making. And with that, Gleb, welcome to the SBC podcast. Take it away. Let us know some of the things that maybe you cover in the book and some pivot strategies and some best approaches to some decision-making.
Happy to, and thank you for inviting me on the podcast. Well, when you want to make a pivot, the first thing to realize is they actually need to make a pivot. And that's, I've seen so many companies fail to do that in a timely manner because of where this intention comes from. Now, so many of us are told that we should go with our gut, trust our intuitions, follow our heart. You know, top gurus tell us that, Tony Robbins, you know, tells us to be primal, be savage, and Malcolm Gladwell tells us to just blink, and that's all. And unfortunately, those are not good strategies, according to recent research, in how we think and how we feel. The vast majority of our decision-making comes from our emotions, about 80 to 90%. And if we just go with our emotions, we'll go with what we were previously doing, and we will not pivot in a timely enough manner when, you know, things hit the fan that we don't want to hit the fan.
So we don't want to repeat the same mistakes, right?
Yeah, we don't want to repeat the same mistakes, but so many of us do because we're always told to make the same process of decision-making, and that's the key. We fall into dangerous judgment errors called cognitive biases when we fail to realize we need to make a change, make a pivot. So one of the biggest cognitive biases, dangerous cognitive biases that I talk about in the book and my broader work is called the normalcy bias. Now, the normalcy bias refers to the fact that we tend to predict the future to be much like the past. We look at the future and we feel, hey, it's going to be much like the past, just the future, the past, they're going to be similar. And that's how we feel. If we rationally think about it, we'd realize, you know, obviously, there are major disruptors going on in the 2008-2009 fiscal crisis, huge major disruption. The COVID pandemic, an obvious major disruption. Or let's say the rise of the smartphone, huge disruption. But that's not how our gut reaction tends to perceive the future. That's not how we look at the future. So we don't anticipate these major changes and we don't pivot in a nearly timely enough manner. So that's the first thing that I want to highlight, the need to realize that you need to pivot.
Of course, decisions are at the heart of everything we do. And there's a lot of conflicting advice. There's a lot of things, even with this, what's going on with COVID and everything. And some people say it's uncharted territory. And some people are saying it is, you know, similar things have happened before. Where do you stand in regard to that? And what are your views on how people should approach it and balance maybe learning some lessons from the past and then maybe what maybe approach differently this time around?
I think folks who think that it's similar to previous events are falling into the normalcy bias. We have never had a pandemic, worldwide sweeping pandemic in the modern business environment. So if you're treating it like the past, that's a big mistake. And then you're falling into the normalcy bias and other related cognitive biases. And these are dangerous judgment errors that come from, I mean, when you look at the neuroscience research on this question, I talk about that extensively in my book, Resilience, Adapt and Plan for the New Abnormal of the COVID-19 Coronavirus Pandemic. We make mistakes because of how our brain is wired. The normalcy bias is one of these mistakes. And there are many other mistakes, such as status quo bias, where we tend to stick to what we know, the status quo, and are fearful of change, fearful of disruption, fearful of acknowledging disruption. So folks would say it's much like the past or similar to other things are kind of fearful of acknowledging the newness of it. Because if it's new, it's something that you really don't have experience with. And, you know, talking heads, they like to be kind of arrogant and say they know what they're doing. Whereas, you know, it's much more honest and appropriate. You know, I'm kind of a talking head, but I come from a different school where I say, I'm fine saying I have no idea what is the exactly the right thing to do. I know what the right process to follow is. That's what I know. I look at the process and I know the process. So we can talk about the specific steps that you need for an effective strategic pivot, but I can't tell you what the right outcome is. That's only for you to decide after you go through the process.
Right, right. So I know you spent a great deal talking about gut, using the gut and gut decisions, and then using kind of maybe a scientific approach. And of course, you know, again, there is a lot of bad advice in regards to that, to where it's like, be yourself and do all of these things. Well, we all know, some of us anyways know that you have to put work into things, you have to research, you have to leverage all of these different things. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that seems to get a lot of, there's a lot of conflicting advice when it comes to this. You know, where people just say, oh, follow your, you know, your gut and this and this and that. Can you please go into that a little bit?
Happy to. So when you look at how people, how startups function, let's say, let's start with that. You'll see that about half of all startups fail within the first 5 years and about three quarters fail within the first 15 years. Overwhelmingly, that's because entrepreneurs tend to go with their gut. They follow their intuitions and they make big mistakes because they do so. There are two major top reasons why startups fail. The first of these reasons is a lack of fit of product or offering to market. And that comes because entrepreneurs don't do nearly enough market research. They feel in their gut that their product will satisfy the market. And then they go out and they offer their product, not realizing that that product is not what the market is looking for. Just because they themselves like it doesn't mean the market will
just
like
because
it.
They're in love with it doesn't mean the client or the customer is going to be in love.
Exactly. Right. And that's one of the top two reasons, purely gut, that comes from there. The other reason is that entrepreneurs run out of money before the company becomes profitable enough. So they run out of money. That means they didn't budget enough money. So it would have become profitable. There was a fit of product to market, but they didn't think strategically about all the problems and risks that they're likely to run into. And that, there's a dangerous judgment error, a cognitive bias, the way our mind works, called the planning fallacy. When we make a plan, we think that everything will go according to plan. You know, there's this famous saying that failing to plan is planning to fail, right? That is a very misleading phrase, unfortunately, because people think that they have a plan, everything will go fine, everything will go according to plan. What I teach my clients to use and what I strongly encourage everyone to use is failing to plan for problems is planning to fail. So again, failing to plan for problems is planning to fail. And you need to have quite a lot more money and lead time than you anticipate, because you're really going to run into a lot of problems that you don't anticipate. So those are two examples that you need to think about as an entrepreneur and any business leader, where you can see that going with our gut leads to big mistakes. That's why when you look at the research on behavioral economics research, so I'm a behavioral scientist, and I look at the behavioral economics and the cognitive neuroscience, which is how our brain works. Behavioral economics is how we behave in economic situations. When you look at those two fields of research, they clearly show that we need a process that helps us address these cognitive biases, a very clear structured process. We should never go with our gut. We should never simply go with our gut. We should always check with our head when we don't want to screw up. Sometimes our gut is going to be right and sometimes it's going to be wrong. That's the problem. Our head is the tool that we need to check our gut, because we always have a certain gut reaction. And again, sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. That's why you need to go through a process when you don't want to screw up on major decisions like strategic pivots, like launching a new product, like even opening up a business or hiring a major employee. You want a clear process.
Right. Yeah. And you want to leverage all the other science and research and expertise. Someone has been there too. Someone has been there. But I agree on that. Of course, you know, our guts have some experience as well and have some of those, but some of us have more experience than others. So I think it's something too that can be trained.
Yes.
You know, to be better.
It can be trained. And we're talking about experience. So there's research on expert decision-making. And what the research says is that in certain areas where you have a lot of experience, you've probably heard, you know, 10,000 hours of practice, right? You don't need quite that many hours. But when you have certain areas where you have a lot of experience doing the same thing and getting quick feedback on whether you did it right or wrong, that's an area where you can trust. So for example, if you are an entrepreneur and you've looked at the profit and loss statements mm-hmm. for a business division, mm-hmm. now you probably can tell at a glance how that organization mm-hmm. is doing, right? If you haven't had any experience looking at a P&L statement, mm-hmm. it's going to be pretty complex.
Right, yeah.
But now that you had experience, if you're in a position of operating a profit center, then you can pretty much tell very quickly what's going on.
Right.
For something that pretty much all of us have is looking at your email. And you can probably pretty quickly tell what's spam, what's not, what's useful, what's not. You have a lot of experience. You get quick feedback and that sort of thing. Whereas in things like, let's say, merger and acquisition, you don't have a lot of experience with those sorts of things unless you're highly consultant in merger and acquisition.
Or you're a broker or M&A
Exactly. So unless you have, but the vast majority of entrepreneurs aren't. That's a decision that they make maybe at most once or twice a year. And that's not an expertise, because you get the outcome of these decisions maybe a few years down the road, whether it's good or bad. That's why research shows that business leaders, when they make M&A decisions, about 70 to 90% of merger and acquisitions fail to create value. They actually destroy value when you look at the combined value of both companies before and after the merger. That's because we don't have nearly enough experience with these sorts of things. I'm a small business owner. I run a training, consulting, coaching company, like you said. Yeah. So I know that I don't have nearly enough experience with M&As to trust myself. I go to an expert who does this. But I'm giving an example where that's not an area where I have a lot of expertise. And that's not an area where you should trust yourself, even though you can feel confident about it. Because there's so many hangups. It's a pretty complex project. Right. Or launching a new product. Again, lots of challenges. Don't do it very often. That's where you need some advice, some expertise from people who know, have a lot of experience with launching new products. And that's not an area where I'm an expert. But that's an example where that's a big decision. So I'm an expert in strategic pivoting, and I can trust myself to do that. And again, entrepreneurs, you know, how often do you do strategic pivots? Not that often. So that's not an area where you should trust yourself, because you don't have that much experience, even though it feels in your gut like you should trust yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Wise words. And circling back to pivoting and things like that, again, this is the kind of the short form. And those who are members of EO or EO Tampa Bay specifically, obviously, we have a Zoom call coming up in 2021. Right. And we will go a little bit more in depth with that, but just a preview. But today, just for the sake of people who are not members of EO or even members of EO, entrepreneurs in general, what is maybe one or two things that they can take away and start with? Because you know how sometimes people in the overwhelm of information, paralysis, and then nothing happens. But maybe what is one or two things they can just go back right now and do?
So if you're thinking about a strategic pivot, the first thing to do is reassessing your assumptions. A lot of people, when they do a strategic pivot, they just look at their current assumptions and they don't reassess them. They just say, well, how can we pivot? How can we adjust? And they don't realize that what's been happening when you have an external disruptor, the large majority of strategic pivots come because of external disruptors. They can come because of major disruptors like COVID or industry-specific disruptors, or maybe something like a major competitor entering the market, like Amazon recently launching the pharmacy delivery service, resulting in the price shares of various competitors, CVS, Walgreens, falling drastically. That's an example of where you need to make a strategic pivot or something like that. So you want to look at the situation. Maybe your product is really drastically underperforming and that's time to make a strategic pivot. You want to challenge your fundamental assumptions. You entered this space and you launched a certain product, whatever is the reason for the pivot, or let's say with COVID, you didn't assume that there would be a major pandemic, right? So what assumptions are going to be challenged by this pivot? So one company that I was working with COVID, since we're in that context, it's a high-tech manufacturing startup, has a couple of hundred people, I think, when we're talking, had 240 people and something around that. And what it was doing, it was producing various high-tech component parts, manufacturing, that and was prominent for its high quality. So very good, high quality, and people were buying them right and left. It had backlogs before the pandemic. Well, what happened during the pandemic is that there was pressure on the operations people who are the major decision makers who are deciding whether to purchase their products or not from accounting. And accounting was trying to get them to justify buying these high-priced quality gadgets, which I'm not going to talk about which gadgets are the
company. Right, of course.
Yeah. Now, the company, unfortunately, didn't invest into creating ROI indicators for its gadgets. So it didn't invest into saying, hey, here's the ROI, specific ROI on our products. Because the operations managers, they liked quality, so they kept investing into improving its quality. Well, the accountants wanted to see the ROI, and the company couldn't show them that. And so they got really hurt in the marketplace when the orders were cut because they couldn't justify it. So that was one out of a number of assumptions which they had to challenge themselves. That, okay, and that was a fundamental identity shift, you know, changing from focusing on quality, optimizing quality, maximizing quality, to just getting quality good enough and focusing instead on the data. That's a very major shift. And that's a change in their identity structure, how they perceive themselves to be as a company, what their mission is. So that's very fundamental change. And that's something that you want to look at. So challenging your assumptions is the first step. Now, when you challenge your assumptions, you don't simply want to get the executive team together and say, hey, what are your assumptions and what are we challenging? That's a start. So you want to have a start with the executive team, but then you want to go back throughout the company and get information from the ground level, from everyone else about, hey, here are some assumptions we think might not be working out. Let's look at the data, see if there are other assumptions we need to reconsider and what kind of new assumptions we need to go forward with based on the data throughout the company. So you want everyone in the company to create a report. So have the direct reports of the executives create a report based on their own direct reports, depending on how many levels you have. And so of what kind of assumptions need to be challenged and what kind of new assumptions need to be developed that would then feed into the strategic pivot.
Yeah. Those Can you talk about those a little bit? Like what question, like for instance, I know one of the common ones is like what's working and what's not, or you know, what kind of feedback we're getting from clients, or what are the common questions or the facts, frequently asked questions, or the recurring problems, or what are some of your ways of like unpacking it and drilling down into it?
So one is already from the meeting with the executive team, and you have certain assumptions that they say, okay, here are the assumptions we think are no longer working. What do you think, you know, person on the ground, you know, in operations, sales, marketing, HR, whatever is relevant.
Right.
So what do you think about this assumption? So you want to look at each assumption and have people comment on the assumptions. That's one part. Then add essentially a replacement of the what's working, what's not. You want to ask, what other assumptions do we need to challenge? And what new assumptions do we need to move forward with? And then what you want to do is look at the future and paint a few scenarios of the future. So, for example, with the COVID pandemic, you know, you want to paint a scenario. Obviously, right now we have news of an effective vaccine. But before we had news, I was doing the strategic pivot before we had news of an effective vaccine. What would be the case if one of these early waves of vaccines came out to be highly effective? What about if none of them came out to be highly effective? I mean, it's certainly possible, right? Yeah. So because we don't have an effective vaccine for the flu, the only one we have is 40 to 60% effective. So that's kind of another one. Then there was, so because that's relevant to the pandemic, then there was what would happen if we focus on data and address and are less innovative? How would that impact our market positioning, market share, kind of all of these sorts of questions, the reputation in the marketplace. So these sorts of concerns that the company had specifically about changing its future. So both questions about the broader environment, like the pandemic, that impacted your decision to go forward. You want to paint future scenarios and future scenarios relevant specifically to the company itself, painting that and asking people to comment on those.
Awesome. Great stuff. Great advice. I know, again, like I mentioned earlier, this is short form, so we can go too deep into these strategies, but hopefully there are takeaways here. But Dr. Czupersky, how can people get a hold of you? I know you have a lot of great articles out there. You obviously have a couple of books and you have things, any website you want to share, social media handles. And of course, anything you share, we'll make sure that we publish as well in the footnotes for links and things like that.
Excellent. Well, as mentioned already, book Resilience, Adapt and Plan for the New Abnormal of the COVID-19 Coronavirus Pandemic. How do you figure out how to adapt to the pandemic and then the post-pandemic world? That's what it's about. Available in bookstores everywhere. And if you prefer not to go to a bookstore, which understandable in this pandemic, just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, available everywhere. It's published, commercially published. So, you know, it's available pretty much everywhere. So that's one. Then the other thing that I would encourage people to do is go to my website, disaster avoidance experts.com. Again, disaster avoidance experts.com. You'll find all the links, all the articles, blogs, videos, podcasts, and social media handles there. Especially check out the free 8-video-based module course called the Wise Decision Maker course. And the first part of the course, the first module, is a free assessment on dangerous judgment errors in the workplace, these cognitive biases that I mentioned, to figure out how they might be impacting you. So free 8-video-based module course at disaster avoidance experts.com/subscribe. Again, disaster avoidance experts.com/subscribe.
Awesome. And we will publish the link on it too, on the footnotes. So with that, it's been a pleasure having you, Dr. Tsipersky. Thanks very much. And listeners, this concludes this episode of the SBC podcast. Be on the lookout for future ones. And you can also listen to previous ones on iTunes or also links on SBC, sbchecks.com on our blog listing. So thank you very much.